Hello, everyone. How are you today, this beautiful Monday? I'm Nancy Getrich, founder of Phenomenal Image, where I help women who feel stuck in their career figure out the next steps in their career, and I help them achieve it. So today's topic is on making your work feel satisfying. We'll explore three tips that will help you feel more engaged in your work. So let's get started. Have you lost passion for your work? Do you enjoy your work? Do you even feel happy in your workplace? Well, it has become cliche, to be frustrated, bored, or even angry about your job. In fact, a recent Gallup poll had indicated that more than 70% of the participants felt disengaged in their work. And it was 25% that felt active, that were actively disengaged in their work. So since we spend a large part of our lives working, you know, wouldn't it be better to feel happy and fulfilled? Well, you know, you can. If you are working at a job that you like, but right now you're feeling, you know, disengaged, well, the good news is that we can make a few simple changes to our behavior and our perspectives to help us feel more engaged. Because as we enter, the end of this year, we have a lot of things on our plate. We have a lot of goals that we may be setting. And so, it's normal to feel disengaged, because you're in the busyness of it all. But, let's just take a breather, for about an hour or so and change our perspective. So the first tip is to shift your mindset and your beliefs. Your mindset is important because our beliefs and our mentality can affect our ability to grow, to prosper, and be successful. Our mindset can have a major impact on our health and our physical well-being. And so consistently having the wrong mindset can lead to depression, and it can suppress our immune system and, taking us longer to recover from maybe simple ailments like just a cold. It might take you longer, if you have the wrong mindset because you're thinking, oh, I got this cold, woe is me, what am I going to do? Or you're still running and you're not taking the time to take care of yourself. So negative mindsets and limited beliefs can affect our relationships. We can become known as the difficult person at work, and many times it can actually cost us our job. So, research has shown that those with a more positive mindset tend to become sick less, and they're happier and healthier. And a lot of this, it comes from choice. So, generally speaking, there are two very different types of mindsets that you can have about life. And those results are yielded from either approach is most likely going to be at opposite ends of the spectrum. For example, there was early in my career, I was superwoman. I thought I could conquer the world. And, I was always going. But then, you know what you don't know. And so I hit a snag and I started seeing myself differently. I was internalizing a failure. And it got to the point where I started questioning myself and I started shying away from volunteering for different work that I enjoyed. And, so I was becoming, I was starting to get a fixed mindset. And this is what we're going to talk about, because I started limiting myself as to what I thought I could achieve. And, that was a low point in my life or in my career. And so I stayed on the sidelines, and I missed a lot of opportunities because I began to start seeing myself as someone who couldn't maximize my opportunities, or I couldn't even see the opportunities to even try to maximize them. And so, you know, that is an example of what is called a fixed mindset. And those with a fixed mindset, they tend to feel like their skills, their potential, and their abilities are predetermined and it cannot be improved. I have found myself not even trying to learn, and I love learning. I was a lifelong learner at the time. You know, I was always seeking a new way of doing things, a new way of learning things. But when I hit that snag, I was like, what's the point? You know, because it's not going to really make a difference anyway. You know, and looking back on it, maybe it was a sign of depression. But, you know, at that time, I didn't know it. But, you know, someone with a fixed mindset tend to feel powerless over any ability to change. And unfortunately, you know, when you have a fixed mindset, you're more apt to easily become discouraged by your challenges, and you're just likely to give up on the first setback or delay. And so conversely, you know, those with a growth mindset are open to the idea that there is always room for improvement if they are willing to work at it. And they are more optimistic about their aptitude, their competence, and your general outlook on life. And so someone with a growth mindset tries to make the best of every situation because they see problems as an opportunity to learn and grow from those challenges. So given what is already understood about the two opposite approaches to mindset, the fixed mindset and the growth mindset, clearly the fixed mindset does not leave much room for growth, learning, or personal prosperity. While on the other hand, the growth mindset is the healthier, more positive option that is most likely to maximize your success and subsequent overall happiness in life. And so it's generally agreed upon among psychology experts that ultimately you have control over which mentality you choose to adopt. And I can say from experience that, yes, it was a choice. And so when I kept holding myself back and not really seeing the cup as half full, I was missing out on relationships, opportunities that had presented itself at work, and I wasn't growing. And, you know, it wasn't until someone took me over to the side and just said, you know what, what's wrong? What's going on? And it was that team of people that was friends, my mentor, and I actually ended up hiring a coach. And, you know, I was able to get down to what was really going on. And so, you know, I was slowly changing my mindset. I was slowly realizing that anything that I wanted to do, it began with me. It began with my mindset. And it began with a decision to choose. You know, maybe I can't change the situation itself, but I can change how I respond to it. And so, someone with a fixed mindset can still choose. Like, you know, I had the fixed mindset. I had limited beliefs. And so I chose to become more positive and adopt the growth mindset. And, you know, so no matter what part are you in, say you do have a fixed mindset right now, it can change. And it all begins with making a decision. And so one of the things that you can do, if you groan when your alarm, say, for instance, you groan when your alarm goes off in the morning, and then you're complaining, you get up already complaining about you don't want to go to work, and you're already starting your day on the wrong foot. So what if you could become more positive about your job just by thinking, oh, you know, Lord, thank you. You know, I'm grateful that I have this job because it's keeping food on my table. It's keeping a roof over my head. You know, if you can't do anything else, just look for those positives, you know, that you're not out on the street because you don't have a job. So, you know, do it now. You know, do it today. Make a list of all the positives about your work, and that can actually help you become more re-engaged with your work. Because, you know, remind yourself of the excitement you felt when you got hired on the job. You know, and you was excited. You know, I got this job and I'm going to start. You know, remind yourself of that. So, you know, it's pretty easy to think about all the grouchy aspects of your work, but why not try swapping them out for the good things? You know, do you like your colleagues or your clients? You know, maybe you get to travel or learn new skills. You know, head your list, you know, create a headline for your list. What I really enjoy about my job is, and then just start writing all the good things that maybe you can come up with. And then the next way to make your work feel more satisfying is strategic planning. So I did not get to say it earlier, but, you know, if you have any insights you want to share or any questions, feel free to just jump up and join me, you know, on this conversation. But so we're going into step number two, I mean, our second tip of three. And again, if you just now joining us, the first tip was shifting your mindset and your beliefs. And we talked about having a fixed mindset versus a growth mindset. So anyway, the next tip is planning your success strategically. So, you know, pursuing your goals can bring you a sense of purpose. And so it's very common for people to get to a point in their lives when they ask, why are they doing what they're doing? You know, it could be the career choice they made and wanted to change, or it could be something personal that is simply not working out the way you hoped. And so this, my friends, is referred to by many as, I'm feeling stuck. You know, you're stuck in a rut. And so again, you know, without any changes, it can be difficult to get unstuck. But one way to get out of the rut is to set some goals. And, you know, this may help you find a sense of purpose. So, you know, when you lay out a plan, you can take a bird's eye view of all the possible paths that you can take. And this creates an energy within that helps to carry out your plan. And it gives you something you can look forward to and can give you a sense of purpose. And having a sense of purpose helps you stay motivated and stay on track. So, you know, I know for one, I always have like a list of weekly or daily to-do lists. You know, as I've talked before, you know, I take three priority, you know, I take three things that I really want to get done for the day, and I make it my priority. So you may have that and you may have reminders. But what if you mixed it up a little bit and became a little bit more strategic and then just add some bigger goals? So, you know, when I say that, maybe think of medium goals, maybe something you want to see yourself doing in a couple of months, you know, at the end of a quarter or even at the year, you know, long term or even 5 years. So, you know, where would you like to be in 3 months, 6 months, a year from now? Do you want to increase your client base? You know, if you have a business or even if you're in sales, you know, do you want to learn new skills? So you might even want to think about your next promotion and even the one after that, you know, your next two promotions. You want to climb that career ladder. So you want to make that a goal. You know, where do I want to be at my company, you know, 3 years from now, where I want to be at the company 5 years from now, and then set it in motion. So focus on making sure that you do something every day to help you reach your long-term goals. And basically, you're just breaking it down. You're like, you set the five-year goal, and then you break it down, you know, in year one, you know. Or better yet, maybe you want to reverse engineer it. So you see yourself reaching your goal, how did you get there? And just start writing those steps, how you got there, and then you can create that plan to do it. So now something else I want to add is that during this period that you are reaching your goals, and it's a part of the process, you're going to have good days and you're going to have some bad days. And it's during those bad days, I mean, Lord, I know I've been there. You just feel like quitting. You just like, I need to take a break. You know, maybe I'm not doing this right, or maybe I should quit. Maybe I'm, you know, maybe it's too much. You know, maybe I can't do it. But I tell you, when you start feeling like that, you're actually going in the right direction, because it's natural to feel like that. And it's natural to have those feelings from time to time. But to overcome this feeling, you can refer to your goals and you remind yourself to keep going. You know, this is what I want. This is what I need in my life. You know, this is my purpose. And so, yeah, it's supposed to be rocky sometimes. And it's okay. It's okay. I'm going to be okay. And you just keep it moving. And another thing that you can use is, you know, go to family and friends, because they can also help encourage you. You know, be sure to reach out to them when you feel like throwing in the towel. And so, you know, you get those bad days, but guess what? You also get good days. And on those good days, you may feel pumped up and you see that you're closer to achieving your target. And, you know, meeting your goal milestones will solidify, you know, the experience, as it gives you something to check off when you complete the task. And, you know, I don't know about you, but when I am able to put a check next to something that I had achieved, you know, that I aspired to do, I feel good and I celebrate. So the more that you pursue your goals, the more you will have these feelings of accomplishment, which will show you a sense of purpose. And so the next time you feel like you're in a rut, try setting and pursuing your goals. And, you know, again, it doesn't even have to be big, and it doesn't have to be grandiose. It doesn't have to be outlandish. And you want them to be attainable. So keep working on them until you complete them. Something else that I do, I create a journal to track my progress. And then I can see, it allows me to see the areas that I need to correct. It makes me see areas that I need to improve. And it actually makes me, allows me to tweak the journey. And so, and looking at my journey, I mean, you know, I refer to my journal, and it helps me to say, man, you know, I was right, you know, I was at this point when I first started, and look at where I am now. And so it's inspiring just to read my level of growth, you know, as I'm growing. And so, and you know, and that motivates you to continue on. So once you see what is possible by setting your goals, you may find your job isn't as bad as you thought. Now, you can't stop the challenges that occur in your life, but you now have a way of getting out of it. So figure out what you want to pursue and then set up a plan to make it happen. And then once you got that plan in place, guess what? You got to take the action. So you keep it moving to follow the plan. And so, you know, we talked about, you know, just a brief review, a quick reset, so to speak. We just talked about the second tip out of three tips I have for you today. The first tip is to shift your mindset and your perspective. And then the second tip is to plan your success strategically. And so this final one, which is very important, is you have to practice self-care. And, you know, self-care is very important, because if you don't take care of yourself, you're not going to really be able to maximize any opportunities that come your way, because you're maybe not be physically able to do so, or you might be mentally burnt out. And so taking care of yourself is important. Now, you know, we talked about this before. This past year has been very hectic for many of us, you know, globally. And so, you know, people have been coping with all the things that life brings us, you know, in many ways. But one way to cope with it is practicing self-care. And there are many reasons why taking time to practice self-care can make a pivotal difference in your life. And for many, these practices and habits get overlooked in the chaos of our day, in the busyness of our day. And so, you know, let's go ahead and just kind of define, you know, what is self-care? So self-care is any activity that is intentionally meant to care for our mental, physical, emotional, and even spiritual health and wellness. And so certain activities are, you know, we consider as common self-care practices, but it means taking care of yourself so that you're healthy physically and mentally. So when you engage in self-care, you're making efforts to be at your best so you can work, interact with friends and family, and just do all the things you need to and want to do within a given day. And so self-care can look different for each individual. But here are some ideas of, you know, various things, self-care activities, so to speak. You know, one is yoga, you know, meditation, taking a hot bath to relax. For you, it might be something as simple as enjoying a cup of hot tea or, your favorite beverage. Journaling is another practice of self-care. Some people may prefer to get involved in their faith. They may pray. For others, it may be getting a massage. Or I know what I like to do. I like to listen to music, and I do sip on hot tea. And but one of the things that I recently have started, you know, my secret passion, I guess, I love movies. So, you know, I can just sit all day and look at them and watch, you know, a group of movies, and I love thrillers. But I was finding that I was doing more watching of movies and less of getting my goals together and, you know, creating those plans that I needed to get to where I wanted to be. And so I had to choose to start cutting down on my screen time, which I've actually done over, you know, the past 6 months, because, you know, with COVID and us being inside, you know, I loved it. I love watching the movies or whatnot, but I found for myself I was actually doing it too much, and so I needed to cut down. So why is self-care important? Adding self-care practices to your life has many benefits. It's shown to reduce stress and improve your mental health. And it's also been reported that people have had greater levels of happiness in their daily lives once they incorporate self-care. And so, you know, for me, I do a ritual where I, you know, I get up in the morning, I do some prayers, I do a couple of exercises, you know, 15, 20 minutes of exercises. I read, a couple of chapters of the book that I'm reading right now. And, you know, and I try to set the tone for the day. I review the priorities that I have for that day, and then I set out a plan on how I'm going to achieve it. And so anyway, you know, for me, it actually does give me, I feel that I get more done when I practice self-care. And so taking care of yourself can also improve your physical health. So, you know, when facing illness, self-care can help you recover faster and better from, you know, your illnesses. And so here are just a few little tips to practice self-care in your life. And it, like I said, it doesn't even You know, you can take baby steps. It doesn't have to be like this great big plan. You know, as you take the baby steps, you know, you grow momentum, and that momentum leads to success. And so some of the things you could do, maybe you can go to bed an hour earlier, you know, try to get enough sleep. Balance your commitments and your priorities. You know, it's not a sin to say no. You know, to prioritize those things that are going to help you achieve your goals. And if you love helping people, then you know what? Just plan it into your day. You know, schedule some time to reach out to someone and help them. But, you know, make the schedule, put it in your schedule to do so. And again, you want to say no to optional tasks or events you don't want to take on. And, you know, take care of your physical and mental health. You know, exercise. Take a walk. Get on your bike. Go outside and just enjoy the nature. Look at the trees. When is the last time you just went outside and took a deep breath and feel all that nice air? You know, and just take a rest and just take a moment to listen to the birds singing. I did that the other night. I like to do it at night. I did it the other night, and just to see the stars in the skies, makes me feel peaceful, and I get calm, and I love that, and it makes me understand, you know, that it's not always about me, and that there's a bigger plan, and that my purpose is bigger than me. But that's just some of the things that I do. And, you know, another thing you want to do, you know, even in your pursuit of, you know, your purpose or achieving these goals, you want to remember to spend quality time with your friends and family. So making space for self-care in your life provides great benefits and to your physical and mental health. And some aspects of self-care are really fun. It can be fun. And so it's not selfish, and it's vital to being well, healthy, and balanced in your life. And, you know, when you do this, it allows you to face whatever life throws at you without breaking your stride, without stressing you out. So self-care at work is very important. And some of the things you could do, you know, if you're in the office or even at home, at your home office, you know, keep a pitcher of water on your desk so you can stay hydrated throughout the day. And, you know, choose healthy snacks rather than maybe the donuts and coffee, because guess what? You know, you eat that sugar, you're going to get a high, you know, a sugar rush, and then you're going to be, you know, get a fast crash and burn. So, you know, just make sure you take regular breaks and, you know, try to get outdoors during your lunch break. You know, you could be taking a walk while you're listening to me talk right now, because I intentionally have set the lunch hour time, you know, so you can just, you know, take a breather and just take some, you know, get motivated, get inspired, so you can be ready and fresh when you return back to work for your hour, you know, or after your break. So one thing that I do caution, and this is something that I was doing myself, do not eat, don't eat at your desk. You know, it's a big no-no, because when you do that, you tend to get sluggish because of the food, you know, especially if you're eating like comfort food and you're eating your big lunch. And so you need to go ahead and balance out that sugar, you know, that you're taking in, and allow your food to properly digest. And you can do that by just taking a walk or just standing and stretching. But not only that, you deserve to enjoy your meal. You can't enjoy your meal if you're trying to work and eat at the same time. So, and you deserve it. You know, go to a desk, or I mean, go to the break room, or go to your dining room table, and, you know, put out the nice dishes and prepare your lunch, prepare your meal, and enjoy it. Take the time to savor, you know, each morsel of food, you know, and try to taste the different spices in your food. And it actually makes for a very good experience. And I had shared, you know, I think in one of my beginning talks that I, you know, I've lost like 65 pounds. And that is one of the things that I did. That is one of the changes I made that made a really huge difference in my weight loss, is just taking the time to be mindful of what you're eating. Take it slow and, you know, and just savor the food. And it's really, it was really amazing experience for me to do that. And I continue to do that. So anyway, I digest. So, you know, eat, when you take that time to create, a sensory environment, you know, during your meals, during your lunch, taking breaks and being mindful of what you're doing and being focused on that task at hand, you'll feel better and you'll be more positive and more productive. So yeah, it's easy to feel stuck at work and not feel engaged, but there are some things that you can do that may change your perspective on how you view yourself, your relationships, and your career. So changing your mindset to that of a growth mindset and planning your career strategically, setting those medium and long-term goals, and then reverse engineering it so you can take, so you can see the steps. You create that outline to be successful in achieving those goals. And practicing self-care can help you become a more engaged person with your work. And so, yeah. We're at that time of year where we're in the final stretch to achieve our goals, but it's also the time of the year for reflection. So why not take a moment to consider where you are now and begin to strategically plan where you want to be in your career? Now, I offer a program that allows you to do just that, and it's called State of Your Career. It's an annual review. It's just a 90-minute conversation that allows you to sort through your most pressing career situation. You'll gain new insights, and you'll have a plan of action to address your career challenges or, you know, or set in motion where it is you want to be next year. And you don't have to wait until 2022 to get started. You can start to change any time of the year. So anyway, if you want to learn more, my website is stateofyourcareer.com, and you'll find more information if you're interested or if that's something that resonates with you. But, you know, I would love to hear what you thought about today's talk. Do you have any insights or experiences that you would like to share? Are you just at your lunch break? Or you're taking a break and you just want to soak it in. I'm okay with that. Either way, I'm good. And you're good. And so, but we have reached the end of this talk. And if there is something that you might want me to address in future talks, DM me. Let me know. Tap on my photo and you'll get my information to reach out. And as always, you can go to phenomenalimage.com. But I look forward to talking to you again on tomorrow, same time, same place. I'm Nancy Gettridge, founder of Phenomenal Image. If you are tired of working at a job that does not fulfill you, I can help you figure out what really matters to you and help you achieve it. So have a blessed day. Have an intentional day. Have a phenomenal day. Bye for now.